Okay, now we're back and we're going to go into part two, which is basically the discussion of the inflation, deflation controversy, I would call it. And this is my own personal opinion based on about 40 years of observation of what's going on. And it's based on the stuff in the archives, which you can read about, but it's, I think that there's a lot of crookery going on in here, and so it takes on that kind of a tone. When you go back to the period of about 6 months ago, when I had advocated that there was a serious deflationary environment ahead, and that the obvious case was gold or bonds, and bonds were the conservative way to go, I noticed that there are many articles and commentaries to the extent that there is this very serious problem with anybody who is foolish enough to invest in government bonds. And the argument, which you see it like place at Market Watch, people that you never heard of, they hire people to put these little things out. There is this concerted effort to tell you that when the economy turns around, which we know will happen, that these government long-term government bonds, which now yield 4%, will jump up to 5 or 6%, and corresponding to that increase in the percentage increase will be a very serious loss in capital, because the price of the bonds will drop 20-30%. And so the commentator is saying to you, well, do you wouldn't want to take want to invest in government bonds and risk that you're going to have 20 to 30% loss in your capital price, which will surely come when this stimulus program produces a great economic recovery. My opinion, those people are shills that are paid to entice people to go to a strategy which is preset as, I come from the Marine Corps, is a killing zone. It's where you take people and you shoot them. And it comes from the fact that you have a desperate situation where you really are going into a deflationary zone. The Federal Reserve made a big mistake of letting the real estate bubble get out of hand completely, and they didn't have the guts to step in and stop it. They dropped, so you get the 08 debacle, and now the Federal Reserve is doing the right thing with a stimulus to get things turned around. And what happens is that they give money to the Goldman Sachs and the Morgan Stanleys and so forth. And they give a huge amount of money because they are the kingpins of the financial world. And what they do is they go buy a whole bunch of common stocks because they are cheap, which is completely justifiable. And they stabilize the market. But their ulterior motive is to get is to wait until you have a recovery, and they're going to sell them to all the suckers. Okay, so what they did was they bought a whole pile of equities, and they've seen their rally, and now they're trying to distribute these to the public and say, everything is okay. Would you like to buy some of these stocks? And they got them in inventory, see, so they got to get rid of them. Well, it turns out that the people on the other end have been burned so many times, they don't believe the story. Okay, they see Wall Street as a circus, and they see these large entities as the guy that the promoter of the circus, who is trying to tell you that this is a great thing to do, you know, buy something and so forth, and you wonderful things are going to happen to you, but is a complete charlatan. So they have this problem of how are they going to get rid of all these securities that they got courtesy of the government money, and they can't figure out how to get rid of them. So they see, because they're pretty smart people, they see the ending of this growth phase coming, and they can't figure out how to get out of the box. So what they do is they go to and they get these hack writers to, not saying that it's a complicity, but they events conspire to have people put articles in that tell people that owning government securities, which are the only two, one of the most conservative, best qualified haven in times of difficulty, is a dangerous investment, and that you should get your money out of investments, out of those kinds of investments, and get them into common stocks. You can go back and look at MarketWatch. I can look at my emails, and I can say, you always get the same people at that period. This is going back like 3 or 4 months before this data came out. And you find this ravenous bottom zones, which I believe is basically a conspiracy to sell people on the virtue of owning common stocks and dumping government securities. The reason that it's targeting government securities is because if you look at the data flows on where investments are going, it's all going into bonds. And so there was this disturbing element as we were coming up before April of this year. You had this flow of, we own all these common stocks that we bought courtesy of the government factor, but the data flows are all showing it's going into bonds. Well, the people that got burned aren't going to buy the story anymore. So there's a credibility issue here. What's happened is that through some magic of the way the economy works, people get hired to write stories to say that the bonds are bad investments and stocks are the obvious way the smart money is going into stocks, because the powers that be need to get that to get out of trouble. And this phenomenon is endorsed in part by the Federal Reserve, who caused the problem by not stopping the previous speculation, as a way of saying, well, yeah, we need to get the money into the economy in order to get growth going again, and if we all go that way, it'll come out okay. So we have this problem now of what's going to happen when they don't want to buy the common stock argument, and these guys have got the inventory. Well, that's going to be a problem for them. So plan B, so plan A didn't work, and so you go to plan B, and plan B is to get the money, is to get people to cough up their bond investments by making them more attractive. You see, the first one was the fear argument that if you own treasury securities, you're endangering your family's financial health. If that doesn't work, you tell them, okay, we'll do instead of using the stick, we'll use the carrot. So you go around and you say, well, we're going to give you because we're benevolent of Federal Reserve people, we are going to raise the price of the bonds so that these will become very attractive to you, and you will accept a check from us, which is funny money, and you will take that money and you will go to the process of the bottom zones and buy economically productive things. The plan A was you were going to buy a bunch of securities that the big bankers and money people had bought up and were trying to get rid of the bottom zone. That one didn't work. So you're just going to say, well, buy some corporate bonds and so forth. That's plan B. It wasn't as good as plan A, but it's good enough. So that's what's happening in the bottom zones. And that, I think, in the history of going back into the Great Depressions, and if you go back particularly the most interesting Great Depression, although it's not terribly relevant, is the 1840-1850 type periods in my charts. You can't do that because what you're trying to do is stimulate an economy that's basically dead. They spent too much money on the Iraqi War, the Afghan War, missed let people lose money in the dot-com revolution, dot-com speculation bubble, and they let them in the real estate bubble. Is probably the biggest one, it caught more people. And then they don't have any credibility, so that everybody that's in this game is pretty much the barker at a circus, who is obviously a promoter. If you go to a charitable event, you don't mind doing that, but they're beginning to lose credibility, so the whole thing's going to fail. But short term, you know, if you have a magic checkbook and you can write money, you can make things happen. And various people have said, well, we're going to have a big short covering rally. I didn't think you're going to get a big short covering rally here, because I don't think anybody's going to believe the story that anybody who is short is not likely to believe that there's anything going on the upside, because it's sort of an intellectually, the motivation to go up is basically intellectually and financially bankrupt. So I would say that you know, you have this problem. How do I get up to the high envelope area while the whole scheme isn't going to work? Well, it's always possible that they could do something, but I would say that in the end, the analysis of the Great Depression coming in the next next 10 years is correct, and it's getting hard to come up with intellectually viable rationalizations for why you're going to make a rally. So this should be a bear market rally, but we have to pretty much trapped. We're trapped in the advanced decline T, which we discovered before, with a 26th of August date, and it may be fuzzy. Maybe you top out early, maybe you top out late. But as far as the magnitude is concerned, which we're talking about in channels, we're talking about in the vertical dimension for the S&P 500, I can't really conceive of how this thing is. It's going to allay fears that you have this runaway deflation because the Federal Reserve is now on top of the problem and it has a cure. But I think that anybody that goes down to the second level, is where's the money coming from and so forth, is going to say that, well, you know, maybe this is a plus for gold, okay, and maybe it's a plus for bonds too, because if somebody really wants to buy your bonds at a higher price, you own a valuable property. So it doesn't seem to me that this is going to play out very much, but there's always some wiggles, and the wiggles we always do with the from now on, since the August 26th date is fixed pretty much by as being about the best estimate we're ever going to come up with, there's no sense in dwelling on that anymore. It all goes into the envelope theory, because that's one that's going to determine how the thing is going to come out until August 26th. After that, we're basically bearish, and bearish into 2003, 2006 with the two bottoms that we've had. We've discussed that in the past. So anyway, that's my observation on what's going on. It will be interesting to see next week what is happening. But the forecast is fixed by the fact that the mid channel is a Lagrangian point type of a magical thing you can't see, and we'll see how it goes. So thank you, and of course we'll be doing our next update on Wednesday, and we'll see how it came out. And otherwise, we'll see you next Sunday at this site. Bye bye.